Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out. Woo! Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we got Jay Moore. We've got you for a three-hour ride on this Tuesday morning with open phone line for you. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap, we're so close to the draft on Thursday. It is draft week here on ESPN 1000. But before we get to Caleb Williams, before we talk about the draft, we need to talk about the news that was broken yesterday. I first saw this on WGN, by the way, regarding the Chicago Bears. They have set a noon Wednesday press conference to announce plans for a new dome stadium on the lakefront. According to the Chicago Tribune, the team officials will make the announcement at Soldier Field, which will be demolished under the proposal. And it's going to be a busy week for the team. The Bears, of course, are going to have the number one and number nine picks in the draft. But, Cap, here's one of the keys to the piece in the Chicago Tribune. The team has pledged to spend $2 billion in private money for the project. The cost of the stadium is estimated between $2.5 billion and $3 billion, plus $1 billion for associated roads and other infrastructure. Now, you and I have talked about this, whether it's going to be staying in Chicago, in the same general area of Soldier Field, or Arlington Heights. So what's changed? Because now there's a press conference. Doesn't mean it's actually going to happen, but there is going to be a press conference saying that the Bears want to build around the Soldier Field area.
Yeah, we'll learn a lot more tomorrow. From what I'm being told, they will lay out the financial plan of how this whole thing gets paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is not going to be an agreement, I'm being told, with Friends of the Parks announced tomorrow. And I did a bunch of research yesterday, and I did some with you guys this morning. Friends of the Parks killed the Lucas Museum. That's a fact. And the Lucas Museum is now being built in Los Angeles, which would have been the largest philanthropic gift in the history of the city.
Mm-hmm.
He offered to pay for $740 million museum himself, George Lucas.
Yeah.
And then Mayor Emanuel was furious that this deal died, because it would have brought in north of $2 billion over the first 10 years in economic help to our city and thousands of jobs. Friends of the Parks is not on board with the Bears doing this. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out tomorrow a lot. I'm sure we'll see cool renderings, and the Bears are going to make a sizable amount of money from their contribution. I think $2 billion is what they're prepared to spend. I just don't know how long this gets tied up in court. I don't know if the Friends of the Parks still has the juice that they had to kill Lucas Museum a few years ago to do this again, although they think they do. So we're going to find out a lot. My big question for Kevin Warren is, why do you want to be in the city where you will still have infrastructure issues down by the lakefront when you could own Paradise out in Arlington Heights, which a year ago before Kevin started, we were told, our sole focus is there. I know there's been issues fighting with the school board about the taxes. I can't believe the people of Arlington Heights are that silly that they can't figure this out. So it's going to be an interesting news conference tomorrow. My other question is, why are you having a news conference that overshadows or will take away some of the luster of everybody ramping up for Thursday when Caleb and somebody else get drafted here?
Well, there's a lot on there, on that plate, so let me just take it bit by bit. Let's take the last point first. Kevin Warren is driven to try to be able to build this stadium. And if you don't believe me, go back to the piece that we referenced yesterday from Courtney Cronin from ESPN.com. You recall this, right?
Yes.
One of the questions I asked Courtney, because she talked to the COO of Building Development, people around Kevin Warren about the stadium, and he is just rabid about trying to get this done. He has experience in this in Minnesota, and so he wants to be able to get this done. You know, he's not necessarily got his beak in the draft or free agency. He's here for a reason. It's about business operations and getting a stadium built. This is why he's here. And so that's probably one of the reasons why. Like, yeah, the Bears on one end, on the football end, are trying to set up their draft. But on the other end, here's Kevin Warren letting you know and keeping you up to date on what he wants to do with the, you know, with this stadium. Now, as far as me being a Cook County resident, Cap, I'd like to know who's going to pay for this. You know, the Tribune mentioned that, you know, I'm still paying for the debt that's on Soldier Field now. At this point in time.
Correct. A lot of it.
$631 million. It's a lot of kale.
And how much did the whole project cost?
Yeah, all I know is that...
I think it was just north of $600 million.
Yes.
So basically, they've been making interest payments only.
How frustrating is that?
Correct.
Taxpayers were still on the hook for $631 million for Soldier Field debt as of last year. So I'd like to know if you're going to build... you know, who's going to pay for this? Is this how much of it will be privately owned? The other thing, though, Cap, is to your point, if I'm the Bears, I want to get away from Friends of the Park as quickly as possible because I want to have full autonomy of my building. I don't need to be able to have meetings with Friends of the Park to find out, can I build something here? Can I put a statue here? I mean, think about this. You're the Chicago Bears. Because of the history of the team, you love to honor your favorite players at your stadium. Would you not? Kind of like what the White Sox do by honoring their great players and the Cubs honoring their great players or the Blackhawks and the Bulls honoring their great players. Okay, if you're the Bears, you want to be, hey, meet me at the Peyton statue. Meet me at the Urlacher statue. Meet me at the Sayers. Like, those are things that should matter to this charter franchise. If it was me, and I'm this is the point that I've made and you've made it as well, that I would move to Arlington Heights. Think about it. It's more than just the Bears. And hopefully that's a perennial playoff team. But the point is, though, is that that's the Final Four. That's mega concerts. That's the UFC. That's WrestleMania. You're using that thing year-round. It's paying for itself with the major events along with the Bears. You want it. You want the place to be open 24-7 like what's happening at Wrigley Field these days, at Gallagher Way. These major events, even when the Cubs aren't there, that's what you want.
Right, but I would think that during the football season, you're not putting – a lot in there.
You understand the point, though, like like a gift shop or something like that.
Oh, but, yeah, if you're out in Arlington Heights, especially that whole 326-acre, you could do so much.
There's events that's going to be in there because of a dome stadium.
Especially out of football season, you should be able to compete with anybody where it's climate-controlled.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about it raining on Taylor Swift like you do at Soldier Field. Now, okay, read me the number again that you said the taxpayers still owe for Soldier Field from 2002.
Taxpayers will still be on the hook for $631 million of Soldier Field debt as of last year.
Okay. What do you think total funding cost for the renovation was back then? They owe $631.
Well, I don't know. Like... they put the spaceship on top of it. Was this $500 million?
$632 million.
Oh my, $632 million. Son of a
that
bitch.
Was the total $632 million. Taxpayers were responsible. Get this.
Yeah.
Total funding for the renovation per NBC cost $632 million in 2002, with taxpayers responsible for $432 million, while the Bears and the NFL contributed $200 million. So the 432 that you and were your parents still around in 2002?
Yeah.
Bob Hood and May Hood.
Yeah.
I lived in the city. They paid $432 million, and now they owe $631. So they've been making interest-only payments, basically. And it just keeps going up, making the minimum payment on the credit card. Yeah. As of October 28, 2022... taxpayers owed $640 million. Yeah. The total cost when all paid off right now would be $1.13 billion.
You went highest bidder on me there, Bob Barker, with that $632.
And that's amazing.
Hell of a number.
So I sat down with Richard M. Daley in his law office just a few years ago for NBC.
City of Chicago.
I said, Mayor, I got a question for you. Why would you not put a dome on Soldier Field then? Then you don't have to worry 20 years down the road, well, we've got to get a dome stadium. He said, I wanted one. That was my plan. And the state of Illinois and a lot of the politicians locally, no, we don't want to, we can't afford that. We're not doing that. So he said, Indianapolis has one.
Yes.
Detroit has one.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota has one. Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just keep looking around all these different cities. They get domes, and this world-class city can't get one. So they compromised and did what they did.
Call me crazy, Cap, but at this time in my life, as I round the back nine at the 10th hole, Cap, I want to be in a dome stadium for the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. I've been out there when it's been bone-chilling cold.
So
West Coast teams from the South come in and beat our ass. Bears weather's not a thing. We got to get that out of our lexicon, out of our conversation about the Bears. That doesn't matter anymore. You know what matters? What's comfortable for the future for Caleb Williams and whatever the Chicago Bears outfit's going to be by the time they put a shovel in the ground. It doesn't make sense from a business standpoint to put it back at Soldier Field. I know people are traditionalists and they're used to going to the tailgate and being able to chill and then go into the stadium, you know, fully croissant, and then usually watch a Bears game and then go back out and reminisce and kibitz about what happened after the game and then leave, right? But, I mean, traditions be damned when you're trying to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just good business for the Bears. Now, hey, listen, this press conference might be a dog and pony show tomorrow, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I want Kevin Warren to get the best deal. And the best deal's in Arlington Heights. I'm good with it.
That's what I think. But we'll learn more tomorrow. And they're going to lay out the financials of how this is going to take place. Jerry Reinsdorf also through a source to Cranes, apparently, weighed in last night as the Bears are going to have this press conference. So here's what Cranes is writing. With the Chicago Bears ramping up their campaign for a new Lakefront Stadium, White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf is upping his ante for a second proposed new stadium in the South Loop area that he wants a state agency to build and lease to the White Sox. A source close to Reinsdorf said that despite earlier media reports indicating Reinsdorf wants the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority, ISFA, to front the entire $1.25 billion said to be needed for the new stadium, we never said there would not be White Sox investment in the potential development. To the contrary, the source continued, we've been looking at several scenarios which would, under the right conditions, involve significant private investment. But as everyone knows, this is an evolving situation, and once we have a clear, definitive path, we'll have a clear, definitive commitment. The source had originally said a figure of $200 million or more, but today the source says, I will not define what significant is, but it is significant.
Yes. Yeah, I'd
correct.
Say so.
Better be. Better be.
I would like for the Bears to be, and listen, all of this is negotiation. A lot of this is a push and pull to try to get what you want. You want both sides to get as close to what they want. This, Cap, as you well know, we're dealing with contracts, and I have as well. You just want to be able to come to a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty much, this could be posturing on the part of Warren, or he could be serious about trying to be on the lakefront, because we've heard at least three or four times Warren talk about the lakefront and him living in Chicago and loving on television that look of the lakefront. I mean, he talked about this on the Peter King podcast not too long ago.
Again, we're still going through the process, but I think when you look at the overall evolution of what a stadium means to a city, a county, to a state, having a dome stadium in the climate that we live in, from a business, from a fan standpoint, from a player standpoint, from a game day experience standpoint, makes the most sense. Because what it will allow us to do is to be able to host other events, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, college football playoff championships.
You obviously have talked to the governing bodies of those sports, and you feel confident that at one point, if you have a dome stadium that size, you're going to get a Final Four here or more than one.
I would say if we, and that's incumbent upon us to build and do it the right way. A lot of the things that I do are just based upon history. And just like in Minnesota, we built U.S. Bank Stadium in a manner that we felt would be not only appropriate for the Minnesota Vikings, but it would make sense for the NFL, for us to host the Super Bowl, for it to be a destination for Final Four, other concerts. So what I am confident about is that if we do things the right way, and make sure we build it in a manner that fits and is an elegant and professional, that I feel that we would have a great opportunity to host some of these, you know, events. Never a guarantee, but that's always in the back of my mind. And I'm focused. We have the best fans in the National Football League. I'm focused on building that environment from a fan standpoint for them to be able to really enjoy it. A dome stadium would make the most sense.
Kevin Warren.
And so Crane's also weighed in on the Bears in their article this morning. The Bears are also believed to be seeking to tap the hotel tax Reinsdorf wants, but have also offered to put up $2 billion toward the estimated $4.2 billion cost of the stadium on a parking lot just south of Soldier Field and related infrastructure. But sources close to the deal say the Bears would get that money not from the pockets of the team-owning McCaskey family, but mostly from fans in the form of seat purchase licenses, from the sale of naming rights to the facility, and from a stadium construction fund operated by the National Football League.
Hmm.
So there you go.
The PSL people.
Correct.
Not the onesie-twosie guys.
Correct. So we'll find out a lot more tomorrow, because I'm being told that they are going to lay out the financials and what they're prepared to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds significant if they can get all that done. But this thing is years away from reality.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Do you want a new stadium on the lakefront? What's your reaction to the Bears announcing plans for a stadium downtown? Let's get your thoughts on that. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. We want to get your thoughts because, Cap, I think that that's enough for the lakefront. I love the tradition, but I'm ready for something new.
Yeah, I'm willing to reserve. You know my thought. I would be in Arlington Heights if I was the owner, if I could get a deal done with the schools. But I am willing to reserve my initial thoughts or put them on pause, I guess is the best way to put it, until I hear what they say tomorrow. Maybe Kevin has got an amazing presentation tomorrow. I know there'll be glitchy drawings and renderings and all that. And there should be. Mayor Lightfoot had those when she was an office member, where they were going to put the dome over Soldier Field, and they made it look like it was down in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we know where that went. So let's see. Let's reserve judgment, see what they say tomorrow.
All right, let's get your reaction coming up next on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Appreciate you guys. I listen to you streaming on the ESPN 1000 app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
We'll hear from Connor McKnight from the White Sox Radio Network coming up at 7:50. But we're asking you your thoughts about the Chicago Bears. Cap, you saw this on Crane Chicago Business. I saw this in the Chicago Tribune. Chicago Bears to announce plans Wednesday for a new dome stadium on the lakefront. And so, Ken, this is Kevin Warren, who's spoke so highly of our city, talking about how he'd love to see a stadium in Chicago. However, the Bears have already, they purchased a while ago property in Arlington Heights. And so I just believe that just like anything else in this state, you try to play both sides of the middle and try to come up with the best deal. For me, as a Chicago Bears fan, I would prefer them to be in Arlington Heights, one. But two, I like to know who's paying for it. That's what I would like to know, like who's paying for it.
Yeah, and I think we'll get some of the financial details tomorrow. I really do. I don't think this is just going to be some kind of a dog and pony show where they just go, here's some cool renderings, we'll see you. I don't think we are anywhere into the starting gate and, you know, down the track, to use a horse racing metaphor. I don't. I think the Friends of the Parks are going to have a lot to say about this. They killed the Lucas Museum, and they've got to come to a deal. And I don't know how you do that if they don't want any building on the lakefront. So we'll find out. But I do think you're going to hear some financials from the Bears tomorrow.
You would prefer a dome stadium, would you not? You would prefer to keep your coat in the car walk the concourse.
Oh, 100% I want a dome. Correct. But you're not tearing the colonnades down, right?
Right.
So
exactly, so, because the Friends of the Park say so.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think the colonnades are going to be part of anything that they do. They're going to, I know, because I've already read it and heard it, that they want, take the old Michael Reese Hospital site in Bronzeville.
Yeah.
And the Bears are like, no, we want to be on the lakefront.
Yeah.
So I want to hear, I would just like to have Kevin say what unless it's just the tax thing. If the tax thing got worked out, is Arlington Heights completely dead?
I'd like to know. You own the property. You want to do something with it.
Right.
But I just know. But
or is the property up for sale? That well, I don't know either.
Well, before we go to the phone lines, Cap, we should probably just lay out what is the sticking point with Arlington Heights and the Bears. How come they haven't gone to Arlington Heights, you know, with the press conference there? What's the disconnect there?
I think it's all the tax stuff.
Yeah.
All of it. Now, does Arlington Heights not care? Do they feel like we can use the property for a million other things? Who's buying it from the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a politician in Arlington Heights who said maybe we could turn the whole 326 acres into a migrant welcoming center. I don't know how the community is going to feel about that. And if that was the case, are you building more schools? Because there's going to be children that come with that.
Schools would be nice.
So yeah. Who's paying for those schools?
Right.
Where's the money coming to pay for the schools if that's what you use the property for? So I don't know. I'd like to hear what the Bears' plan is for that property.
I mean, hey, listen, one thing for sure, renderings are undefeated.
Correct.
There's never been a bad rendering that I've seen that's proposed by a team. Now, is that just a pipe dream? Is that trying to scare Arlington Heights? I mean, to me, all of it is posturing until we can get something that's the genuine article. Like, for sure, this is what we're doing.
Like, I think Kevin truly wants to be in the city. I really, truly believe that.
Probably the mayor more so than Kevin Warren.
I think equally. Yeah. I think they've developed a really good relationship. Kevin commutes when he goes up to Lake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
He literally lives right near us here.
Yeah.
He's in the city. He likes being in the city. I think he truly wants to build in the city. I don't know if I think that's the smartest move, but again, I'll reserve judgment till I hear what he has to say tomorrow. I'd love to get a chance to sit down, not with a microphone, just off the record, and have a conversation with him. I don't know if that'll happen.
Well,
but we'll find out a lot about their plan tomorrow. But I just want to know, how does it solve the infrastructure problems you have now? I've heard Black and Abdallah talk because they go to all the games.
Yeah.
I've heard them talk a lot about, the walk and the infrastructure, and it's a whole day thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how does putting a stadium in the exact same location solve all that? I don't know the answer to that question.
Right. It's going to be more convenient for the people that's going to the game? Don't think so. Look, we've been to the games. We know the Penguin Walk.
Yes.
And the inconvenience at times.
Now, again, you could literally build it where I've got a couch at the 50-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be at home.
I understand the point. I understand that. But I'm talking about some of the people, the diehards that
want to go.
Used to go.
Agreed.
That's who we're talking about.
Valid. Yeah,
now, you and I are usually in our respective homes watching the games to get a better perspective. But the point is, though, is that for those that want to go, I mean, you got to find out where your Bears are going to be. All right, John on 294 is with us on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So, lifetime Bears fan, dad, great uncle, go all the way back, season tickets back to the 60s. And, you know, my dad, he paid for the PSLs in 2001 when they built the new stadium and all for it. And then when you see all these other stadiums go up and you talk about that experience, you know, my dad's 62. He's a retired school business official. Like, he's passed multiple $10 million referendums. Like, he's emailed the Bears even and been like, I'm all for Arlington Heights. You re-up the PSLs, whatever. He goes, it's your inheritance anyways to me, but... You know, I'd give anything to go to a Bears game with my dad when he's 70 or 80, and he can't do that on the lake in Soldier Field right now. Like, I just don't get what the Bears are. My whole thing is, it's this whole game, and us as fans, we can't get away from it. The Justin Fields, Caleb Williams things for the last 6 months. Now it's going to be Arlington Heights, Soldier Field for who knows how long. But, you know, Kevin Warren's a great guy, great leader. At the end of the day, you got to do what's best for your people, not what you want to do. And with all that acreage, just just take a little area of it and put a lake over there and name it Hallis Lake, and then you're on the lakefront. Anyways, I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Just find a body of water so it could seem like the lakefront, right?
That's it.
Man-made lake.
Just build a pond. Like, that'll do it.
I mean, could you imagine that coming out of a break for an NFL game, Cap? That little pond. There's Hallis Pond.
The overhead shot. The lily pads and frogs jumping around.
Probably said that little pond. There it is, Hallis Pond, as we're in Arlington Heights.
We'll build it over then in, I don't know if that's Niles or Glenview. They used to have that Fisherman's Dude Ranch where mm-hmm. they would stock it with fish.
Yeah.
And then you could go fish there as a kid. I think that's gone now. But, yeah, again, like a buddy of mine who's a banker. He's been a banker for, got to be 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Chuck, he said, this is not about the taxes in Arlington Heights. A sticking point is another $3 million per year for the construction years. Okay, $3 million to a $5 billion franchise makes no sense to me. He also said, a rumor I heard is the cost for construction escalated and the McCaskies can't afford it. We're hearing, and I think Kevin said it, every year you wait, the costs of construction go up by $125 million. So time is of the essence.
It's ridiculous. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I'll get more of your thoughts. Ultimately, our first half hour has been asking the question, do you want a new stadium on the lakefront? Where do you want the new stadium for the Chicago Bears? If you go to games, you could tell us what's more convenient for you and your family. The Bears also are linked heavily to one defensive player in this draft. We'll get your phone calls and all of that as we talk Bears with you on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
White Sox shut out for the eighth time in 22 games this season, falling 7-0 to Minnesota in the series opener. Jonathan Cannon was blasted, giving up 6 runs on 9 hits over 3 2/3 innings pitch. Sox fall to an unbelievably bad 3-19. We play game 2 of the series tonight at 6:40 on ESPN 1000. Cubs start a home series with the Astros tonight after a day off yesterday. Astros have struggled this season, off to a 7-16 start. But they are actually favorites at Wrigley tonight. First pitch at 6:40. Bears about to set a plan, or will announce plans for a lakefront stadium in a press conference tomorrow at noon. They'll commit $2 billion to the construction. The stadium project expected to cost $4.2 billion while seeking public funding as well. And Coby White named a finalist for most improved player. DeMar DeRozan, finalist for most clutch player. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Oh, Cap. J-Hood, big fan, man.
Bop, 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 bop. Watch out, fellas.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Tuesday right here on Chicago's home for sports.
So as I do more homework on this, what I'm being told is because of Fritz Kagi, the Cook County assessor, taking the property value, when the Bears bought it, it was valued at $33 million in terms for the tax valuations. Now, jacking it up 500%, all of the big banks like Goldman Sachs and the others who would be used to finance this project in Arlington Heights, all because citing the unpredictability of the property taxes in Arlington Heights, all of the big banks have tapped out, said, we're not financing that. We won't. Because we don't know what the bills are going to be at the end.
Yes, we understand all the red tape and the machinations that go with this, but the bottom line is, for the Bears fan that wants to go, they'd like to know what stadium they're going to be in the future. Is it on the lakefront? Is it going to be Arlington Heights? Because all of that provides excitement. Either way, it's going to be different. When you're one of the oldest stadiums, I mean, it was built in 1971, this stadium, and it's still not enough seats in that building. 61,500, I believe, is the total for Soldier Field. I mean, you want to have something grand for a big city and for a big franchise.
How big do you think a stadium should be? Because I think it's going to be somewhere
in the 70s.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'll go that big.
Then keep that toilet bowl that you have then. I mean, 61,500 is the smallest stadium in the NFL, Cap. I mean, you can have 70,000 and be able to sell that out easily. Because there's so many Bears fans in the surrounding areas that come in for the Bears.
Yeah, you are correct. The Bears are the smallest. I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere
in the 70s.
65 to 70 is my guess of where this thing will come in.
And also whatever the NFL wants.
Yeah, the NFL is going to call it.
Yes,
because where the Steelers play, 68.
Mm-hmm.
Allegiant Stadium, which was just built in Vegas, 65. Arrowhead is at 76. AT&T is the biggest. That's Dallas. 80,000. So a lot of the stadiums. Cleveland Browns, 67. The Commanders, 65. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, 67. Ford Field, 65. I think you're going to come in high 60s is where it probably comes. So we're both close.
Where Chicago should be in the 70s. That's what I'd like. Man, 61 is, for the time in 1971, fine. This is why we're talking about this. Like, there's a need for a new stadium and new amenities and an easier in and out for the fan. And so we'll see what happens. I still think that, you know, even though Kevin Warren will tell you that, hey, you know what? We really like what we have in Chicago. We want to build. We'll just see how it all ends up. The Bears are linked, by the way, heavily to one defensive player in the draft. We'll tell you about in a moment. First, we go to James on the south side on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, James, good morning.
Jimmy!
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
You know how we're doing. What do you think about all this?
You know, I would love a lakefront stadium, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to get blocked by Friends of the Parking Lot.
Friends of the Parking
the whole,
Lot.
The whole lot, right?
I like that.
They love that. They don't want anything built on it. There's nothing like fresh asphalt up on the lake, you know?
Yeah, of course. It's what we're used to.
Appreciate it, man.
James, we appreciate the phone call.
Friends of the Park have a lot of juice, man. Shay was saying to us before the show, these people have that much power?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I just said within the framework of our show, at times more power than the mayor.
Yes.
The mayor's office.
Mayor Emanuel was furious. I went back. I found his statements when he was mayor when George Lucas announced, we're done. Chicago, out. It was done. He was paying all $740 million out of his own pocket. Biggest philanthropic gift at the time in the city's history. And Friends of the Park said, nope, you're not doing that. And finally he went, okay, this is taking too long. I'm gone. And it's being built in L.A. They got it.
So that shows you the power of the Friends of the Park.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
So, Cap, I know that you can't wait, like all of us can't wait for the draft on Thursday. And one of the things we talked about the other day was talking about the influence of Matt Eberflus as head coach. I mean, a lot of influence for a guy who's 10-24, but we understand that he is linked with Ryan Poles at this particular time. They are hand in glove trying to rebuild this team together. So mm-hmm. I totally get that. I also, though, wonder about the influence of Eberflus early and where we have now. Imagine Byron Murphy. And for those that are not familiar with that name, he's a guy here that played at Texas as a defensive tackle with the Longhorns, 6'1", 308 pounds. We've talked about how there's still need for a pass rush on this defensive line. I just wonder how much swing does Eberflus have to be able to possibly suggest, hey, man, my defense isn't yet straight yet. I mean, we got Montez Sweat. We got some players we like, but we need to get younger at that position, faster at that position. I wonder, as we read the last couple of days from those like a Biggs and a Rapoport and a Breer, wonder how does Byron Murphy play in at nine?
I mean, this is what Eberflus has talked about being the engine of his defense, is having a really good interior defensive line. That said, I still think a wide receiver is paramount that you come out of this draft with a good one, a mm-hmm. really good one. Now, I'm not talking about some fourth-round pick because Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth-rounder, but he turned into Amon-Ra. I don't know if Tyler Scott's going to turn into that. And that's my problem with not taking a wide receiver because Keenan Allen misses games every year.
Sure.
He's over 30, I think 31, mm-hmm. turning 32, and he is going to want to get paid. His contract is up at the end of the year. DJ Moore, you're going to have to extend sooner rather than later for huge money. So there's a lot of issues at wide receiver that I don't think are being acknowledged by the fan base We've got plenty of receivers. Shea said yesterday, we've got plenty of receivers. No, actually, we don't. We have 1 year of Keenan Allen. Yeah. We've got DJ Moore under contract. And that's it. Tyler Scott, Velus Jones. So that is a huge need for this team. I also believe the offensive line, if Joe Alt is there or if there's someone they love on the offensive line, that is a huge position of need. Tevin Jenkins doesn't ever stay healthy.
Well, I would take the over in the Keenan Allen situation because of the capital that you surrendered to get Keenan Allen. I would hope that you'd get 2 years out of him, Cap. And again, your point is still well made because you got to get younger at that wide receiver position. You got two bookend veteran receivers. And we don't know what Tyler Scott is. We know what he is today. I don't know what he's going to be at the end of this upcoming season. But you got to get younger at that spot. So I totally get that. I would imagine, Cap, that there's going to be at least a tack-on for Allen. You know what you're getting. I mean, the Bears saw it. Like, okay, we're not going to get 16, 17 games, but we can get 13.
Hopefully.
We can get a quality 13. All right, let's see what happens.
Hopefully.
Because there's a lot of tread on those tires, as you well know. For both guys.
So as excited as I am for Caleb Williams and whatever they do at 9, there's still holes that have to be addressed on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Interior defensive line, rush edge, offensive line, wide receiver. Still got plenty of needs here.
Murphy was a beast at Texas, and leaving as a junior, by the way.
Correct.
Leaving as a junior.
You know, this is the smallest amount of underclassmen in the draft in 13 years. Only 58 players are going pro. A, because a lot of the Ohio State stars, for example, stayed. They want to chase a national championship, and they're getting paid stupid money in NIL.
Yeah, they already have their rookie contracts in college.
Correct.
It's some of them, right?
That is correct.
Marquette, Michigan, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here is John on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, listen, how about this scenario? I like Byron Murphy, but I think you can get him, like, trade back with the Raiders at, like, 13, then pick up a second-round pick, and then Cap, then you can get your wide receiver, you know, someone along the lines of take that other kid from Texas. You could probably get him in the second round.
So when you say trade back, you mean trade down,
I'm
right?
I'm talking about trading back 9 to like 13, have the Raiders also give you a second or third round pick because we got to get some capital back, you know, draft capital. And then get your wide receiver next, and then maybe that kid from Houston, what's his name, that offensive lineman, would he fall to the third round, you think? Paul, I think his last name is Paul.
I don't know.
Chris Paul,
yeah.
He's
a good guy.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
His name's Cliff Paul. That's Chris's brother in the State Farm commercial, of course.
Chris is the NBA star. Cliff is the wide receiver.
Yes.
Wow. Or offensive lineman.
We appreciate the telephone call from Cliff.
By the way,
huh?
18 of the 32 NFL stadiums. Actually, 31 because Giants and Jets share.
Okay,
18 of them are 60,000 plus, are in the 60,000 range, between 60 and 70.
Some of them need an upgrade.
Maybe
some of them need an upgrade. I'm not arguing the point with you about how many. I'm
right.
Just saying that I don't like the Bears to be the smallest.
Yeah, we're 61.5.
Yeah.
We are the smallest.
And 71, that was fine. That was huge, right? That's mm-hmm. World Fair numbers, Cap. From your day, the big World Fair.
My day.
I'm just saying, bigger numbers is more appropriate. Speaking of big numbers, Connor McKnight will join us coming up next on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's a Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Now it's time to talk to Connor McKnight, and he's on the hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the Car X Man.
That'd be the Car X Tire, and not a lot.
Connor McKnight is brought to you by Access Community Health. Connor, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Another beautiful day in the greatest city on God's green earth. Couldn't ask for anything better. How are you boys?
We're doing well, thank you. In the advent of replay and all the innovation that we have for umpires, why do we still have an issue with the people that are supposed to be looking at the plays, whether it's a close play, not a close play? What is going on? How do you think that replay has worked?
I think replay is working fairly well. I think egos are always going to be an issue in baseball, and it's not just the umpires, but it's the umpires. But it's not just the umpires. I think that involves everybody. Do you have a certain replay that you're thinking about? Was it Aaron Boone getting chucked out of a ball game the other day for something somebody else said? Because I've been there, like, all through high school. That was me. It wasn't me. It was the other guy. Why am I going down to the office? I don't understand it.
That's exactly right. Yankees,
that was amazing.
Yankees A's yesterday. I mean, it's in the first inning, and some jackaloon there in the first row is giving it to Hunter Wendelstedt Jr.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was it? The old man was who?
The old man was
Harry? Harry Wendelstedt. Yeah. His son is behind home plate. Yeah. Here's a jackaloon yelling. The umpire thinks it's Boone and throws Boone out.
Boone goes, I didn't say anything.
Didn't say a word.
Right.
That's my point, Connor. I mean, even for that, that should be replayable. Okay, this is unheard of, but let's find out who said what.
I tend to agree that it should be reviewable. I don't know that it needs to be reviewable. Like, we don't want an umpire throwing a manager out because an umpire makes contact, or because the manager makes contact with the umpire, and then the manager that's just been thrown out asks for a replay review to see whether I did or didn't touch you. You know, we don't need to be there. We've done a great job cutting off a lot of time from baseball games that we didn't need to be watching baseball games. But now that just adds another wrinkle in. I do think, remember, with Wendelstedt, and I'm not defending the guy, like, it's preposterous, but he had given a warning to the Yankees bench like two pitches before that. So he's on high alert already, which only goes a long way to explaining how thin-skinned he was being in that moment, not excusing the behavior of that moment in the first place, right? Like, and then his explanation afterward, I heard it from somewhere down the Yankees bench, and Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees. The buck stops there, so I threw him out of the game. Like, what? What? What are you doing? Like, what is? How does that make any sense whatsoever?
You gotta love that old dusty. The buck stops with me. Such a trite thing to say.
It's hilarious. It's how I managed a senior English class when I was teaching as a substitute. Right, just like spray fire everywhere and hope it lands on the bad actors, and maybe I'll get through the rest of this Othello lesson. Like, yeah, you don't have a chance. You're screwed.
So, the eighth shutout in 22 games yesterday. It was good to see a little accountability from Pedro that Sosa went back down. Danny Mendick came up. But when you're 3-19 and Danny Mendick is the answer to your woes, you got some issues going on down there. Connor, Nestrini getting sent back made no sense to me. I would rather just play young kids than worry about 35-year-old Robbie Grossman and getting 36-year-old Tommy Pham ready. Do you see any time in the near future that they commit to, we're just going to play young kids then? If we're going to lose, we're going to play youngsters.
Yeah, I do. I think that is in the near future. I think those kids are going to be a part of it. Remember, at the end of the day, with Nestrini, he's got options. They already used one to put him down in AAA Charlotte, so you're not reusing options. He's due up to start Friday, right? His turn in the rotation would be Friday. They've got Brad Keller down in the minors as well, who's pitching pretty well. Maybe they want to give Brad Keller a start. And then that next fifth day is May 1st, which may or may not be the day Mike Clevenger is available to start for them first time around. Nestrini's going to make, I said it on the postgame show last night, if Nestrini doesn't make at least 12 starts this year, I mean, health being considered, I would be stunned. He's going to start for you. He's got time. You've already spent that option. I think also it's a difficult balance here on the pitching side of things. Forget the offense for a second, because Lord knows everybody else has. On the pitching side of things, you've got to balance the veteran arms that are pitching well and might be able to bring you back something in trade at this point at the deadline, right? Your Stevens Wilsons, your Chris Flexons, your Michael Sorokas, your Brad Kellers, and maybe even your Mike Clevenger.
Yes.
Those are the guys that need focus in innings leading up to the deadline so you can do this as best you can the right way, considering everything's gone wrong for you here. On the offensive side of things, I think the same philosophy applies to Tommy Pham, maybe to a lesser degree, but I think after that, you've got a lot of young kids that probably aren't ready to make the start that Nastrini's ready to make at this point in their development curve. So I think there's a little bit of waiting that's got to be played there for guys like Colson Montgomery and Brian Ramos.
Spoken like a true Chicagoan, everything has a plural. Everything has an S on it. It's just amazing.
Well, I'm sitting in the Jules parking lot right now, boys. So,
is it anywhere near Soldiers Field?
Yeah, it's right next door to Soldiers Field. It took me forever to get down here on the Eden.
What street is it on? Goethe?
Yeah, that's right. I still don't know how to pronounce that one. If anybody learns it, you got to tell
me. That would be Goethe.
Is it Goethe?
Goethe.
I used to live right by that school. That makes a lot of sense now. All right, that makes Goethe. Sense.
Stay away from schools, Connor, and we appreciate your time.
See you, boys.
See ya.
Connor McKnight brought to you by Access Community Health on the hotline.
The CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Let's go.